So we're joined today by our newest coach in the Spartan lineup, head rowing coach Kim Chavers, and one of her rowers, Cameron Daniels. So thank you both for being here. And I'll start out. So Cameron, what got you interested in rowing?
Well, this isn't the sport I thought I would be playing in college. I played basketball and soccer all through high school. Had kind of mild plans of trying to play basketball somewhere, but I'm 5'6", and to play anywhere I wanted to play, you had to be a little bit taller. And so I kind of resigned to the fact that I wouldn't be a college athlete. Came to Michigan State, and on my orientation, I saw the rowing table, and I was like, what is this? And I ended up running into a girl I had played soccer with who was on the team at the time. And we got talking, and she's like, you know, this is a good opportunity if you, you know, if you don't think you're done. And I'm like, well, I certainly don't think I'm done. And so I talked to my parents about it, and then went through the tryout process, and I made the team, and I'm learning a whole new sport every day.
So, Kim, that's you know, really, from my perspective, one of the more fascinating aspects of college rowing, at least here in the Midwest. In Michigan, we have a handful of high schools on the east side and west side of the state that have rowing programs. There are a handful of community rowing programs. But it's something that the vast majority of high school students in Michigan have zero exposure to. So when we create a rowing team here on campus, there is inevitably a blend of some women who have had some rowing experience, but probably the vast majority, many have not. So how do you go about creating a team, recruiting women, the sort of fascinating dynamic of coaching a sport that really isn't played in or that isn't done in high schools in our state?
Yeah, the sport of rowing has really taken off at the high school level only in the last handful of years. And so we have a pretty dynamic recruiting class every year. So we have athletes who rowed in high school at all different levels in all different states, some from the Midwest, but the majority not from the Midwest. And then we have athletes, a lot of athletes here from Michigan and the surrounding Midwest states that played other sports in high school. You know, maybe their high schools didn't have access to rowing, or they're from an area that's more landlocked and just isn't conducive to the sport. So maybe growing up playing sports like Cameron, you know, basketball and soccer, being multi-sport athletes, or being someone who started specializing in a sport very early and has burnt out of volleyball and swimming, who are looking for athletic opportunities as college freshmen. And then athletes who learn about the sport and program here on the Michigan State campus as well, just like Cameron did.
What are the traits that you look for in an individual coming from another sport?
Yeah, I mean, of course, general athleticism. But, you know, if you're a dedicated, coachable athlete in any sport, you can learn to row or do anything else. And so I think it's also people who have the excitement for learning a new sport and opportunity. And I think also people who are very team-oriented. Rowing is a very team-oriented sport. You can be a really fast rower, but if you can't work with the other seven people in your boat, you slow a boat down. So I think people who are excited about the idea of working as a team and collaborating together goes really far, too.
So that's, to me, that's one of the really fascinating aspects of rowing. You know, last night I was at one of our women's basketball games, and it's sort of obvious that a person makes a shot or misses a shot, throws a good pass, doesn't throw a good pass. When you've got four or eight women in a boat, how do you, I mean, and I've been out on the river with you.
You have, yeah.
Yeah, so I got out there once to sort of check out the action. And from a novice's eye, or from mm-hmm. A person who's not really familiar with this sport, all the rowers sort of look the same to me.
They should. That's a good thing.
and yet I know that we've had women from our program that have really achieved great national acclaim. Emily Regan's a gold medalist in the Olympics. How do you how do you tell a great rower from a good rower? What are the characteristics that get me, if I'm a rower on your team, from the B boat into the A boat?
Yeah. I mean, certainly we do fitness assessments individually, you know, using the rowing machines. But once we're on the water, I mean, we spend a lot of time mixing lineups all around and giving people the opportunity to sit together in different seats. But really, it all comes back to that aspect of working together. You know, if you're an athlete who's committed to making the boat faster and making small changes in your individual rowing that helps the boat speed and is more conducive to the greater group, you're definitely going to help a boat move faster. So it definitely improves your ability to move from boat B to boat A.
And so rowing's also unique because it's one of maybe the only sport where you've got a player in the sport whose sole function is to be a coach.
Yeah, the role of the coxswain, yeah.
and so tell us a little bit about that. What's that person's job when they're going down the river? And they're calling out commands or you know, what's that person's role in the boat like?
Yeah, so a coxswain is really the person in charge, almost more than the coach. It's kind of funny. On race day, the coaches are on land, and the boat leaves with the coxswain. And that's that. Like, you're done communicating with them, you know, and you just have to trust that you've coached and worked with that coxswain enough that they're able to perform the way that you'd like them to and execute the plan and respond to any challenge or, you know, resiliency that they must have in their race plan. So it's definitely a really unique role. I think it's definitely has a huge mental component that people underestimate. But they do need to be able to, you know the athletes in the boat, communicate with them really well, execute a race plan effectively, and then command the boat, steer the boat, turn the boat, get onto the starting block, make it to the race on time, all things that you're no longer in control of as a coach when they leave the land.
So, Cameron, as you've gotten into the sport of rowing, surprises? What's is it what you expected or not what you expected? What's been interesting about it from your perspective?
Well, I had no expectations coming in. There's no schools near me that row. The only time I've ever seen it was the Olympics. I was watching when Emily won her gold medal, but I didn't know what I was getting into. And so I think, you know, every day there's a new challenge. There's, you know, something new that I'm having to adapt to. And so it's fun to go through the sport and to just kind of take it all in. I guess as far as surprises, the role of the coxswain has been one of the coolest things to kind of see and then develop, you know, as you go from your novice year where you don't know what you're doing, and a lot of them are still learning as well, because we do have walk-on coxswains as well. And then going up to the varsity level, and you're getting better, they're getting better, and just to see how everyone kind of comes together to achieve a common goal. But yeah, rowing's been, it's been so different than the sports I played in high school, just in the team aspect. You know, I came from two team sports, but I think rowing is a different kind of team sport. You have to be committed to the goal and know that, you know, you want your boats to be fast, but that might mean that you're not in them. And you have to do everything you can to make your team better, not just be the best person in your boat, because sometimes that means you're making a boat slower if you're not working together for that goal. So lots of really weird, you know, things I had to learn, but it's been an exciting journey.
That's really neat. You know, we've talked to a lot about the athlete part of being a student athlete. Talk about the student part. What's it like being a student athlete on the Michigan State campus?
I think the student athletes here are probably the most supported people on campus. The amount of resources I have, just in any aspect, whether it's, you know, in the classroom, you know, in practice, outside of practice, I always have somebody that if I have something, there's somebody I can talk to who can, you know, help me come up with a solution. As far as academically goes, you know, I have my academic advisors who've been absolutely amazing. I changed my major, which meant I had to add a year. And so there are so many just different shuffles that had to occur in my schedule, And I had somebody who was there to answer any question I had the whole time. And then as far as just being on campus, the athlete community is really supportive of each other. You rarely go to a sporting event and don't see, other athletes there supporting, their friends. And so just having a community that understands what we go through on a day-to-day basis and is just there for you if you need to, just talk.
When you're not competing or you're not over at the Smith Center working on your studies, is there another sport that you like to go out and support? Is there a sport, I'd imagine maybe soccer, basketball, because those were things you played, or is there something that your eyes have been open to since coming on campus?
Well, it's been my goal. I'm not quite there yet, but I want to watch every sport on campus. And so every year I've chipped away at it a little bit, but I'm somebody who's grown up around sports. My mom was a tennis athlete here, and so I grew up watching her play. And this weekend, I got to see some of my best guy friends playing in a tennis tournament. And so I got to go out and see them. I have a lot of friends on the soccer team, so I get to go watch soccer. Obviously, football, I'm big on football. My brother plays. I wouldn't say I have a favorite, I like to see them all.
So in many ways, you're kind of a legacy, with your mom playing tennis here.
True. At the varsity letter jacket ceremony last month, her and her mom both were sporting their jackets together walking out of the ceremony,
cool.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what is that bond? I mean, there aren't a lot of families that have multi-generational Spartan student athletes. I'd imagine that's a unique connection for you and your mom.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a point of pride. It's one thing to say, my mom and I both went to Michigan State, but, to say that we both accomplished something that not many people get to do, not many people get to put on a Michigan State varsity letter jacket. And so I was tearing up at the ceremony, when I got to put mine on and I turned around and I saw my mom in the stands with hers on. Like, that's just something I don't think I was prepared for. I had dreamed about it since I was little. I didn't think I'd be getting my letter in rowing, but it's something that I've wanted for so long. And just to say that, my mom and I both, got to represent Michigan State is just something that, I get to say for the rest of my life.
Very cool. Very cool. So Kim, you're, as our newest head coach, you've only been here a few months. What surprised you? What's been anything that's been unique or different than you expected coming in?
I would say just the athletics community and spirit. The athletic department is just a great supportive network. The way the Jennison Fieldhouse is set up now with all the coaches together, I think just collaborates the staffs together as much as, the facilities in the Smith Center bring the student athletes, regardless of sport, together. So that's cool. And then I think Michigan State's presence in the overall community here in Michigan. It was funny, one of the first weeks I was here, I was putting gas in my car and was wearing something that had Michigan State on it, and someone goes to me, "Go green," and I was like, "Oh, yeah." And they walked over to me and they're like, are you new here?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am." And I learned in a gas station in East Lansing that you're supposed to say "go white" from someone in the community, and that I think was very unique to hear in Michigan State, is just that culture of athletics and the support of it across the state.
So Kim, tell us about how you became involved in rowing. What sparked you to pick up the sport? And because I think your story is not completely dissimilar from Cameron's.
It's not. I was a three-sport athlete in high school: soccer, swimming, and track. I dabbled in all different sports growing up, also had a tiny stint in basketball, played softball, and just I was recruited to college to play soccer. I started out as a varsity soccer player and made it about halfway through the season and called my dad. And I was like, yeah, this team, this university is not for me. I'm going to come home. And he's like, yeah, no, you're not. he's like, I'm sorry you're having a tough time. You know, you're going to finish the season because that's the commitment you've made and find something else there you like, you know. Try rowing. They take anybody. I lived in a student athlete dorm, and there were athletes on the rowing team in my dorm. And I asked them, I was like, "Do people just pick up rowing?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, there are athletes on our team who learned, you know, just this semester." And the coach was kind enough to allow me to watch a few practices and invited to give me a tryout to learn the sport. And I fell in love with it and didn't transfer. Rowed all 4 years there. And I got involved with coaching kind of in a weird way. I moved to Boston for grad school and ran out of money pretty quickly. And my marketable skill was knowing rowing. And in the Boston area, that's pretty huge. And so my college coach, again, he introduced me to a lot of coaches in that area, helped me get connected with some jobs. And I got experience coaching all over the Charles River at clubs and high schools and colleges there. And really my coaching career really took off from there.
As you're recruiting and talking to people who are maybe looking to pick up the sport, what is your sales pitch? What is your vision for the future of Michigan State rowing?
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten Conference where Michigan State competes is the most competitive in Division I rowing. There were six of the eight teams were selected to the NCAA championships last year, and there's no other conference that compares to that. And so Michigan State is in a phenomenal position, you know, finishing seventh in the conference last year to be making that push to compete at the NCAAs very quickly. And so, you know, I would say the pitch is that, you know, we could be back there in the next 2 to 3 years very easily, you know, just from the training program that we have, the great student athlete culture and momentum that we have, and the conference that we get to compete in.
So, Cameron, we've talked a lot about rowing, but what's your major? Where are your academic studies taking you?
So, even though I swore I would never do this, I am going to be a teacher. And I say that because I told my mom's a teacher. And, you know, she, you know, of course, your parents sit you down and they're like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm like, I don't know, but I will never be a teacher because you are one. And I don't want to be, like, you know, it's the rebellious, you know, 13-year-old. I will never be like my parents. I won't be a teacher. And so came into Michigan State pre-med, quickly decided that wasn't for me. And so right now I'm pointed to be a biology teacher. So biological sciences through the College of Natural Science, and then secondary ed through College of Ed.
Very cool. Very cool. There's a huge need for science teaching in the United States. So if it turns into your passion, we'll also put you in good stead career wise. But I'll warn you that as you continue to get older, if you're anything like me, you know, you find yourself having these moments in life where you say things and then think to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm turning into my parents. So I was meeting with a group of student athletes this morning and said something and paused and thought, oh my goodness, that's exactly what my dad would say. So it doesn't stop with your career choice, I'll tell you that. But that's great. That's when we've got you know, here at Michigan State, one of the absolute best colleges of education in the country, and with a number one ranking in many areas for many, many years. So you're well placed. So good. Where are you from?
I'm from Clark Lake, Michigan, which is about an hour south.
Okay.
So not too far. I used to come up all the time when I was little with my parents.
Our rowing team rows from a competition perspective, in boats with eight people and in boats with four people.
Mm-hmm.
So walk through in a competition how that works, how it's scored, how you decide who wins.
Yeah, so The Big Ten Conference sponsors 7 boats, so the first and second varsity 8s, the first, second, and third varsity 4, and the first and second novice 8. So it's actually 51 athletes in total that compete across 7 events. And so if you think of something like swimming and track, where each event, how Michigan State places, they earn X number of points, and that goes to the team's overall total. So that's how the events are scored. So the first varsity 8 scores the most points, and that goes all the way down to the second novice 8 scoring the least number of points.
Okay.
So earlier we talked about the importance of everyone in the boat being on the same page, mm-hmm. being in unison. And yet you do have positions, or you have assigned seat within that boat. And reading a little bit about you, Cameron, see that last year you were in the 2 seat. So are you in the same spot this year? Are you somewhere different, yet to be determined? And do you look for different things depending on where you are seated in that boat?
So I sit a little bit of everywhere. I'm fortunate to be able to row both sides. So that doesn't limit me to just being able to row the port or the starboard side. And then I try to blend in wherever I'm put in a boat. So whether that's in the bow or the stern or somewhere in the middle, I've sat a little bit of everywhere this year.
She's kind of like a utility player. It's the best way to call that.
And Kim, as you think about with the 8 seats in a boat, are there things you want different out of the 1 seat versus the 4 seat versus the 8 seat?
Yeah, so the stern pair, so the 7 and 8 seats tend to be people, so those are who everyone's following. So they tend to be people who keep very good rhythm of regardless of what's happening behind them, very easy to follow, very, very mentally tough as well. Able to respond well to what the coxswain's communicating with them, too. The athletes in the middle of the boat tend to be something called like the engine room, so it tends to often be some of your stronger athletes. If you have an athlete who has lesser blade skill, they often tend to be in the center of the boat. And then the bow pair is that pair at the end that crosses the finish line first. So Cameron sat 2 seats some of last year, so she would have been the second person to cross the line. But those tend to be athletes who have very good skill and can help keep the boat set from a distance.
With your schedule the way it is, you have fall races. Your championship season comes in the spring. Is the fall a chance for to put Cameron in every seat in the boat?
Yes.
To kind of find... to find what those unique, to find what those right combinations are.
Yeah. Our fall season traditionally has had a lot of scrimmages, so opportunities for people to sit in all different boats and lineups and seats. And then also in rowing, there's something called head racing, so that tends to be races of a longer distance. So if you think of something like the head of the Charles, where that's a longer distance than the 2K, and it's not that straight-laned course that you're thinking of. It has some winding bends and turns. And then our spring races are 2,000-meter races, so everybody lined up at the start and racing down the race course, the buoy, the race course, to the end, 2,000 meters. So the spring is the championship season, so the majority of our racing. So our first race of the spring season is March 28th at Princeton. We'll race Princeton and Brown.
The standard race distance in the Big Ten or in the NCAAs is 2,000 meters,
yes.
2K.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think of as a really good time for that distance?
Well, it depends on what boat you're in.
Good answer. Good answer.
So an 8's going to get across the line faster than a 4, and the first varsity 8's going to get across the line faster than the second novice 8. And then there's a lot of other things that come into factor. You've got conditions. You've got if you're going into the wind, if you're going with the wind.
It's the only competition course of any Big Ten sport that can change during the course of competition. It's different from venue to venue, lakes versus rivers versus northwest wind or southeast wind or certain miles per hour of wind all make a difference too.
So that's an interesting point, because I think of cross country is a sport where the field of play, if you will, can be different in every school.
Yeah, cross country, golf are two that do change, yeah.
But rowing's unique in that it's not just the sort of the playing surface, but the weather conditions can have a massive impact, and they can in other sports as well. But if the wind changes or the water gets choppier, it really can affect the speed, the dynamic, the strategy of how it all works, how it all comes together.
Yeah, so. It's not uncommon to look at like a full day of racing and see the results in the morning being a little different than the afternoon time-wise, even though they're the same event and the same group of people, just based on weather conditions changing throughout a day. So it makes it a very interesting sport to follow from a competitive perspective if you follow the sport well.
I would imagine that makes it very difficult to compare results.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes you look often the spread between results. So if you're racing another boat and you finished 5 seconds apart from them, but somebody else raced them and they finished 8 seconds apart, you kind of compare that a little bit more than the overall time.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great having our head rowing coach, Kim Chavers, join us with Cameron Daniels, one of the women on our rowing team this year. And I've learned a lot about rowing, and I'll be excited to get back out on the water this spring. It was a little brisk, a little chilly out there in the fall morning, Saturday morning that I joined you, but I probably will watch a little bit from the shore as well.
Wait till it gets a little warmer. Yeah,
when it gets a little warmer. But it's great having you both here with us, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.